Our reading this evening is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's entitled in the Bible, Concerning Spiritual Gifts. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that the one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines.
Nathan, thank you very much indeed. Bonnie, it's lovely to have you with. See, not when Bonnie is sitting in the congregation. So it's absolutely lovely to have Bonnie here this evening speaking. She's not going to speak on every single gift, spirit-wise. And I'm actually dying to find out what this piece of wood is here for, so more of that I'm hoping to come. But let's just pray for Bonnie as she brings us God's word this evening. Father, thank you for Bonnie. Thank you for her faithfulness in listening to you for this evening. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through her, that her words may be to your glory, and that our faith is built through what we hear and through your Holy Spirit at work in us. So we pray for Bonnie that you would give to her a boldness this evening to speak those words that you've given to her. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very
much. Well, it's lovely to have the opportunity to speak to you this evening. We're starting this series on the gifts of the Spirit. So I'm going to kind of do one or two things before we get into talking specifically about the gift of faith. I want to talk a little bit to start with about the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, because sometimes they get a bit mixed up. Think about fruit. It is the natural product of the tree or bush that it comes from. You know, lemons come from lemon trees, oranges come from orange trees, apples come from apple trees, raspberries come from raspberry canes. And you expect to see fruit. And as Christians, God expects to see fruit from our Christian lives. And Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 5, when he talks about the fruits that grow out of Christians: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those fruits should be growing out of us. All of us should be showing something of those fruits, some more than others. But all Christians should be developing all the fruits of the Spirit, those characteristics that people expect from Christians. However, the gifts of the Spirit are slightly different. And when we're talking about gifts of the Spirit, we're not talking about gifts like Christmas presents or birthday presents. They aren't just to enhance our lives. They are often given to a particular person for a particular purpose at a particular time to achieve something important for God and or in the Christian community or for mission or something like that. We don't as individuals necessarily get all of them, but all of them are evident within the church, which is why it's so good to be a church community, because we don't just have to have one person who has all the gifts. That's why we share things out and we all have something different to offer. And we don't necessarily as individuals get personal enjoyment out of those gifts. I'm afraid I have to tell you that some people find their gift just a pain in the neck, a nuisance. But God has given them that gift and they have to jolly well get on and use it. These gifts are for the building up the body of Christ. And although we may have some personal advantages having a particular gift, they are primarily for the building up of the church. Now, these gifts are powerful. They're supposed to be, and they should be used with great care. Some Christians are afraid of the power of the Spirit, so afraid that they don't even dare think about it. They're faithful, and they want God's mission to be fulfilled, but they don't want the Spirit's help to get the job done, which is why, so often, I'm afraid, the church seems weak and it has little or no impact. The Holy Spirit brings us gifts to help us to fulfill God's purposes for his church and the world, and we need to accept the gifts we're being given and use them for God's glory. God gives gifts that are appropriate to us for that purpose. Would you ever give a power tool to a baby? Yeah, you laugh. God doesn't give us what we don't need. If we are baby Christian, he's not going to give us something, you know, amazing that we have to do without having a little practice first. But the power tool in the right hands is very useful. Now, Brian and I are moving to a new house very soon, and there are going to be lots of jobs that need to get done in the house right. So we're going to do a little demo now. Brian, would you like to this is for making holes so that you can put screws in.
This is actually quite a light lump of oak. Could you do this chair? Just a light lump. Yeah. Can I borrow this gimmick? This is what people made holes with in wood, you know, quite a time ago. It's called the gimmick. Now, if I was to ask you, which I'm not, because we haven't got all evening, to make a hole an inch long with this gimmick, how long do you think it would take you to get an inch hole through the gimmick?
5 minutes?
5 minutes. I feel like it's testing. 5 minutes, okay? So we'll put that aside, and we'll get this drill, which has got a new bit in the end of it.
It's not plugged in, don't worry.
And switch it on. Okay, fine. So now I want an inch long hole through it. How long will this take?
2 seconds. You need to be watching where you're pointing.
So we've got 5 minutes versus 10 seconds. I think we'll accept that without actually doing the proof of that, shall we?
Okay.
On
no, I think just let give them a chance. It's quite a heavy piece of wood. You get the idea. I've got a sewing machine here, and I've got some needles. Now, I've made curtains with just needles before I had a sewing machine. It takes a long time. But I've also made curtains using a sewing machine, and it takes very little time once you know what you're doing, unless you make a big mistake, then it takes a bit longer. But the point is, power tools get the job done quickly and efficiently and probably in a neater way. But there is one thing about power tools. They need to be plugged in to the source. Not only do they need to be plugged into the source, they need to then be turned on. And God can give us gifts. But if we're not plugged in to God, if we're not plugged into the Holy Spirit and turned on and listening and involved, the power tools will be useless. So, over the next few months, a variety of gifts will be explored. But tonight I'm going to talk about the gift of faith. And the reason I've chosen this one, and I was given the choice, is that I think it's a gift that is often overlooked and misunderstood. The gift of faith is different from having faith. All Christians have faith that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that they are forgiven and made perfect in him and by him, and faith will raise them up in glory one day. That is a given for Christians. I hope that you all feel like that. But that is the given. We all have a degree of faith, but that is not the gift of faith that is referred to. What I want us to think about is that special gift. What is it about that special gift of faith that Paul talks about in his list of gifts? What does it mean to have the gift of faith? The writer of the Hebrews tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. Of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that's, I think, a pretty good description of faith. Being sure and acting on an as yet unrealized dream may seem wacky to some, but the writer of the Hebrews commends many Old Testament heroes for their faith. Noah built an ark in the desert, completely convinced that one day he would need it. He wasn't anywhere near water. And even though he had no evidence to show it, and he could have been wasting his time and money, he built the boat because God had asked him to, and he believed that that is what he should do. It could have never seen water, but he believed it would save him. Instead of just building a wasted boat in a desert, he built a life-saving craft, particularly for those who listened to him and got on board. Abraham travelled many miles from his hometown in order to inherit the land for his family, of which there was just him and his wife at that time. But he trusted God's promise of offspring that would outnumber the stars. Moses was first of all saved because of his parents' special gift of faith, because they were convinced to hide him in that basket, and they expected God to use him mightily, and weren't they rewarded for that? Moses also had faith as he led the children of Israel through the Red Sea to the edge of the Promised Land by faith. Faith that remained over 40 years before realizing what he had already set out to do. How many of us would be prepared to wait over 40 years for God to fulfill what we believed he'd called us to achieve? It's quite a tall order. The gift of faith takes many forms, but it incorporates all sorts of other traits. When faith is in action, it takes courage, because it means somebody needs to trust God and get on. Just say, I have faith that God will do something. He usually asks us to step out and do something about it. We can't just talk about it. It takes courage to step out in faith. It means learning to be patient, steadfast, and focused for the purposes God has given you. Now, I've got a little clip that I hope will come up, which will sort of illustrate this.
Impossible. Nobody can jump this.
You must hurry. Come quickly.
It's a leap of faith.
You must believe, boy. You must believe.
That's fine. But you get the idea that you have to take that step of faith, that leap of faith, before you actually see God doing something. I want to give you one or two examples of people having faith. I want to tell you, first of all, about a whole church that for a particular season had this gift of faith, and it all surrounds a little boy who was 7 at the time. He's now about 30, I think he must be. I was a curate in this church, and our youth worker was just about to leave and get a new job. But he was going to take the young people away. It was the summer. He was going to take the young people away for a week before he left. So we just kind of said our goodbyes. He was going to go away on the Friday. And on the Thursday, he took his son, who was 7, to the doctors. And within an hour of him taking this little boy into the doctor, he was in hospital. And I got a phone call saying, I don't know what to do. I can't go. I can't leave him. He's seriously ill. As always happened, I always said to my training incumbent, you were never there when the dangerous stuff happened. He was on holiday. So by the Sunday morning, we'd found out a little more. He'd had tests. And the verdict came back that he had cancer in his knee, and there was a 4% chance that he would survive. A 4% chance, which is not much. at that stage. So on that Sunday morning, I took a decision, and I said, we're going to cancel this evening service, because in those days you always had an evening service every week. I've been ordained that long. I said, we're going to pray for this young chap. And I thought probably, you know, we used to get about 30 or 40 to the service in the evening. I thought maybe we get 30 or 40. We had about 80 people there. And so I said, what do you want to do? They said, we want to continue to pray. We feel this is really important. We feel that God is going to heal this boy, which was quite a statement to make at that stage. So I said, okay, let's kind of really go for it. Let's pray every morning at 8:30 and every evening at 6:30 and just get there if you can. And I thought probably two or three people would turn up. And the next morning, 50 people turned up at 8:30 in the morning. We prayed. And then again in the evening, a whole load of maybe different people, a mixture. And this went on for weeks. Well, without kind of boring you too much, basically every week the percentage went up as to his survival rate. And the really interesting thing was he had to go through quite a lot of nasty treatment. But the really interesting thing was that there were doctors who started coming to the prayer meetings because people were telling them that what we were doing. And they said, we can't understand what's going on. We can't understand it. It grew people's faith because we as a church, as a body, had stepped out and declared that this boy would be healed. Despite the odds, it built faith. It built courage, and it has meant that people over the years have stepped out in faith to do all sorts of other things because of what happened. And as I said, that young boy is alive today. No sign of the cancer anymore. He's about 30 years old. He's grown up. He's had a life, which the doctors had said, you know, he will be dead within months. And I'm not saying that every situation would be like that, but it built, it was a, the whole body that had that courage. Now, I can tell you another story of when I was leading a church that used to meet in a community centre. We had to rent it off the council, and the council kept it going. It was in a new estate, so what didn't belong to the council, it belonged to a big company, and they kept wanting to turn this into a block of flats because they'd get far more money for it than a community centre. And I got a note to say from the lady who rented it. She said, it's going to close. They're going to build a block of flats. I said, what? And I prayed and I said, God, I don't know what to do about this. This is not just disaster for the church that meets there. This is a disaster for the people who live in this place. And I felt really convinced and convicted that we had to stand up to the bullies. So I started trying to ring the CEO of the local council, and I couldn't get through. They wouldn't let me speak to him, and I went on and on. I rang two or three times a day for about 2 weeks, no go. Until I got in such, I was just so angry on God's behalf. And I was saying, Lord, you've got to do something because I do believe that this community centre needs to stay there and we need to do something. At which point, the people in the diocese who do all the media stuff said, I think you're ready to go. We'll put you on local radio and TV and all the rest of it. And I was so wound up, I just let rip. And I was interviewed, and they said, well, what do you feel? I said, this isn't just about the church. This is about a community being torn apart. I said, and I've tried to speak to people in the council. It feels like we're abandoned. I can tell you, the community centre was just around the corner from where I lived. By the time I walked home, there were three messages from the CEO saying, will you please phone me? And he was furious because he said, you said we'd abandoned you. I said, no, I didn't. I said, it felt like we were abandoned. And I said, it does feel like we're abandoned. Anyway, we kind of had a few conversations on the phone. And eventually, the community centre was saved. And a few months later, I happened to meet this CEO at somebody's licensing or something, and I was introduced to him, and he looked at me, and he was quite a tall man, and he looked at me and he said, oh, you're Bonnie Appleton. He said, I imagined you as a great big tall battle axe of a woman. I said, no, I'm more like a Jack Russell. And he said, you just went on and on and on. I said, well, I believe that God was going to do something, but I couldn't let it alone. I had to step out. I had to do something because otherwise that would have been lost to the community. And he said, I think you were right. We were being told something different. So it's about having the courage to, first of all, be convinced and convicted that this is the right course of action, and then having that courage to step out into the unknown, just like Indiana Jones had to do. The gift of faith is a really important gift for the mission of the church, and it is particularly for church leaders to possess, I believe. I don't mean just people who run churches, like vicars and missioners and people like that. I mean anybody who leads something in a church. It's a good gift to ask for. A leader who expects others to follow them needs to be sure of where they're going. That's obvious, isn't it? If you're expecting other people to follow you, you need to know where you're going. You need to be sure that you're going. So you're either leading people in your own strength, where you think they ought to go, or you're being led by God and you're prepared to step out in faith and bring others along with you. If leaders don't have that gift, who is leading them? Are they being led at all? Or are they just trusting themselves? Leaders cannot expect others to follow them if they aren't putting their trust in Jesus to lead them. So what I want you to do is pray for your church leaders, and particularly pray that they receive the gift of faith. Of course, with the gift of faith come all sorts of offshoots. The gift of faith, as I've already said, encourages trust and courage. And when you have faith, that is that something will happen, but you can't see how. You have to trust God. And you have to trust that God will come along and put that path underneath you. He'll come up with the goods. And if he doesn't, you're stuck. But actually, what usually happens, if you trust God, he may take you in a slightly different direction. But you have to have that courage to step out. And if you fall, you've got to believe that God will catch you. Now, I wanted to give you one more story, and this is a story that is not finished. My niece is a children's worker in a church, and she's getting married 2 weeks from yesterday. And her fiancé does not have a job yet. He is a youth worker, and his new vicar arrived and said to him, I don't believe in youth work, you're out of a job. Poor lad. And they're getting married in less than 2 weeks' time. He has an interview on Saturday, this coming Saturday, a week before their wedding. They are trusting God. They haven't got anywhere to live. They probably end up living with my brother and sister-in-law, but that's not always very convenient. But they are trusting God. And they've said, what will happen, but we believe. We have faith to believe that this is where we need to be, in this particular church that is where this job is. Now, they're stepping out in faith. Whether or not this happens is entirely up to God. But I wanted to tell you a story that wasn't finished, so that you can see how much courage one needs when God expects us to have the gift of. Now, what I'd like us to do is just to turn into groups, where you are, just with other people, and share amongst yourselves for a few minutes situations where you have experienced or observed the gift of faith in action, either for yourself or for someone else. And when we've done that, after a few minutes, we're going to pray for our leaders. So just for a few minutes, get into groups and discuss where you've observed that gift of faith in somebody or in a situation. Okay, all right.
Pastor stood up for my I'll make sure that I do. That's quite helpful.
Share some interesting stories with each other. What I'd like us now to do is, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would like any church leaders, if you consider yourself a church leader, I want you to stand. Come on, we've got some church leaders here. Don't. Church leader. I think you better come over this way a little bit, and I would like the rest of us to gather around these people and lay our hands on them and pray for the gift of faith for these people. So if you'd like to join me and just speak out whatever words are coming. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of faith, and we pray for these church leaders and those we know who perhaps aren't here this evening, and we ask that you will bestow on them the gift of faith. Help them to be aware of where you are leading them. Help them to have the courage of their convictions. Give them the trust and meet them at their need.
Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you give to our leaders, and we pray that that will multiply, that as they draw close to you, you will draw closer to them with wisdom and discernment as to how best to lead our church, your church, Lord. And we pray that each one will be convicted together, so that it's not a case of pulling one way and pulling the other, but each will know how to pull and work together as a team in love in Christ Jesus. And that the other leaders that aren't here today, Lord, we pray for them as well, especially the youth work leaders that can get very tiring. And we pray for strength, for wisdom, for all of them, Lord, to know your peace in their heart, that they take the steps of faith and lead the church forward into your glory.
Amen.
Lord, Ashford is your town, and you are Lord, Lord of all. We pray for those who are feeling weary, for those who are feeling tired, for those who are losing faith in structures, buildings, expectations. We ask, Lord, that you restore faith in you alone, as Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. Fill this place, fill these people with your love. May they abide in you and in you alone. Come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. Fill them, I pray.
And all the people. Amen. you please go back to your